SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Monmouth Park, from the sports book by William Hill, a very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebick.com. An absolutely gorgeous day for a new era for Monmouth Park and for New Jersey. No telling where the activity leads after this morning, because there's so many elements and so many interesting potential developments that come out of this. After a court battle initiated by Dennis Drazen and legal team Ron Riccio and Monmouth Park, Darby Development, the Horsemen, an odyssey that wound through the courts and ultimately is going to have lasting impact, changing the landscape of wagering in this country. There really is no there's no appropriate way, just like we can't necessarily define what it is that Justify achieved on Saturday, there's to a degree no way of being able to define this achievement and this change. And you know that I've applauded Drazen's initiative and the work that went into this, and in particular, just have been really astounded at the perseverance that went into this. So many people would have given up, and who knows, the money could have dried out, and all the different things that could derail this kind of, this kind of a challenge. And to be here, I thought was important, given that we heard from Drazen every step of the way, after every single defeat in lower courts, and would ask Dennis, what happens now? Where do we go from here? What do you do next? And he was absolutely not to be deterred. The procedures, the way things, I guess, are going to work today, the governor, Governor Murphy, he'll be here. And he's going to make a bet. Apparently, I don't know if it was it the governor that wants to bet on France in the World Cup? World Cup, of course, starts today, and Germany about a little less than 4-1 favorite, Argentina 5-1, 9-2 for Spain and France. So I guess the France, the World Cup bet on France, kind of a mid-priced favorite at 9-2. Actually, a little higher at 11-2, and Belgium 9-1, England 16-1, and so forth from there. And of course, it's interesting, given the World Cup and the news that came yesterday, right? That North America will get the 20 what, the 2026, right? 2026. We'll come back to North America. If you've never gone, it's kind of fun, to be honest. Having lived in Montreal, I can tell you that you never know. You turn a corner in Montreal, and there's a obscure bar where every single Chilean resident in Montreal is watching a qualifier. it really is amazing, and I can tell you that when Brazil won, I'm going to forget which one it was in the 90s. The party that erupted, all the Portuguese and Brazilians in Montreal, just they spilled out in the streets, and we're behind the curve when it comes to the popularity of soccer. And I guess I really, the World Cup always kind of catches the attention. I remember it was 82, I think, when I graduated college, and I had a couple of weeks off before starting work, and that was when Italy went on that magical run and won the World Cup in 82, and that sort of hooked me, I think. Then I've always paid attention and enjoyed. Maybe I'll get a bet down here. Usually I'm a sucker for the Netherlands, and unfortunately, not an option. May have to go. I don't know. Maybe have to go Belgium or Portugal. All the sheets are here, and all the things that are in the sports betting menu. Apparently, they're not going to be able to offer straight win bets on the U.S. Open, unfortunately, which starts. It may actually have started, and that's why they can't. They've got some matchup, I guess, that they can play around with. But everything, just looking at the board, I put a tweet up with the wager options ever changing, and propositions and futures and all the things that you look forward to. We'll get a chance later to talk to Joe Asher, who's from the region, and Joe Asher, William Hill's representative in North America, and a guy who started on the harness side in Delaware, and in fact called some races at Dover Downs as a teenager, which is kind of cool. I'm going to have to ask him about that, and we'll get. I want to get some of the Q&A type things. I mean, people are very curious as to how things are going to work, and of course, it's going to be a state by state production, and so you know how it happens here is not necessarily going to be how it happens, you know, potentially where you live, but the landscape in New Jersey with the racetracks and the interesting little nuance to the final version of what Governor Murphy signed allows for racetracks from the past 15 years that held licenses, and that opens the door. There's no doubt what that language portends, and what it does open is the door, obviously, for Atlantic City Racecourse to be rebooted, and that seems like it's a possibility. So. Lots of moving parts, obviously, to this, and we'll get Dennis Drazen and Joe Asher in particular to visit this morning. The activity here, and I can tell you that the staff at Monmouth, and they've always been, you know, I've said for years, whenever we come down here for Haskell, and we will talk as well to John Himes, who transitioned from longtime communications director to racing secretary. We'll talk to John about the early Haskell recruiting efforts and whether they whether they'll be able to lure another Triple Crown winner here. And, of course, American Pharoah's visit here was very special. And we broadcast leading up to it, and we'll see what John, you know, where John stands. And, of course, Mike Dempsey, the former longtime racing secretary, has been kind of helping John make this transition as well. But the staff, I can tell you, that is always so warm, and it's such a family atmosphere here. There's a real, I mean, there's just nothing but broad grins and an expectant and an encouraged atmosphere this morning here at Monmouth Park, and happy to see it. It's one of my favorite places, as I've explained before. As an adult, it was the first racetrack that I could attend on a regular basis when I lived in Brielle, a little further down the shore, and it got to come. You know, it's one of those, you know, when you're in proximity and you can run over and catch, you know, the first three or the last three or whatever. And then weekends, of course, and brought lots of people here that summer that I lived in Brielle. And that really went a long way to cementing my affection and interest in the game, going back to 1988. I'm going to have to check my own timeline to remember exactly 88 or 89. But I've come back here for years. It's one of the most pleasant and just picturesque and special racetracks in the country. And a jewel and a hidden gem that is underappreciated and hopefully has cemented its future with the groundbreaking effort that changed the way people will enjoy sports going forward. Today, we'll get a hybrid of visits in, and you may have seen yesterday the news when it comes to our Hong Kong, our Hong Kong correspondent of the last couple of years, Pat Cummings. And the news broke yesterday that what Pat is going to be doing when he comes home after about a five-week vacation, more or less, he's going to work with Craig Burnick and the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, which is a fairly new nonprofit. And you know, those of you exchanging conversation on Twitter have certainly seen it. Racing Ideas is the handle, and basically more or less a think tank concept. And you know, what a good role for Pat, as I tweeted yesterday. Pat's got an international perspective, his association with racing in Dubai, and then these 3 years in Hong Kong, and, of course, his time at Trackus. So from the technical end, from the business end, from the, you know, virtually all the different moving parts that are involved in thoroughbred racing, Pat has a handle on a lot of it. And so he will be a very good linchpin to all these different areas. It's a, you know, wouldn't be the first thing that I would have thought that, you know, when Pat said he had something lined up and something he was looking forward to, but it sure works. In the meantime, Andrew Hawkins will pick up the ball back at the Hong Kong Jockey Club, and we'll talk to Andrew as well. We've had plenty of occasion to visit with him. So wanted to mention that about Pat, and of course some other news and notes before we take our first break. Yesterday, OBS off to a very spirited start, certainly, and got to think that it's going to be a very nice couple of days when it comes to the 2-year-olds in training, the session topper, and feels like the likely sale topper, Carlo Vacareza, dives in and picks off the scat daddy that we mentioned yesterday out of Satula. This was consigned by Top Line, $650,000, and there had already been, you know, 250,000 plus sellers. That Uncle Mo we had mentioned yesterday, that Gail Woods sent through X-Line border. Racing, so headed out west, 370,000 for that one. The Uncle Mo out of Mississippi Queen. It has a name, Mo Mississippi. We'll see if they keep it. And then there was the Cairo Prince filly for the Chews for Bioma, 375 for the Cairo Prince filly. So those two had been knocked down early. And then there was also Justin Cassie buying the Quality Road filly out of Party Chatter from the McCathens for 240, and then later in the session came this big, big topper. And we had said, you know, with the Scat Daddies, just the handful that are left available out there. Carlo jumping in, and actually, Carlo had an active day because he also bought an Into Mischief filly for 130. So Carlo Vacareza busy, and Joe Sharp with a pair of $150,000 and $155,000 purchases, an Orb filly, and a Cross Traffic Colt. Joe Bucci, he bought one. Bobby Barbera signed it. A New Year's Day Colt for $205,000. Well, those are among the top sellers. An Atreides filly, too. Went for $130,000. It was a real mixed bag, actually, and a lot of different buyers, and it's hard to compare the two. It's not really worth comparing last year to this year. There's a lot more horses that are going to sell over these 3 days. Last year was a 2-day session, so just consider how just consider and acknowledge what a big sale it's going to be. Got a handful of news and so forth that will slip in as the day goes on. A couple of jock notes. Encouraging news. I mentioned in passing hey Dennis, how are you? Terrific. Good to see you. We'll talk later. You want a little early or do you want to later on? All right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sit down. Casey, we're going to stay here because Dennis, headset or mic, your call. Headset or which do you, whatever you like. There you go. The mic works.
Mic works.
I just kicked off. Dennis Drazen joining us, and Dennis, I felt it was important to come down here today after 6 years, all the conversations we had tracking this incredible, success, and you can just tell walking around here this morning, everybody is just ebullient and so looking forward to what lies ahead. Congratulations again.
Thank you. Unlikely. I kept telling you we're going to win. Yes, every time you had me on here, you know, everyone had their doubts, and I kept saying, hang in there with me. We're going to win this. And I think I spoke to you right after the Supreme Court arguments, and, like, I didn't guarantee a victory like Joe Namath in 1968 with the Super Bowl, but I told you I'm pretty damn close, and I thought we had a 95% plus confidence rate. In fact, even though I'm not allowed to bet, I made the biggest bet. We bet $5 million all in to get to today, and we won. So once in a while, you know, perseverance pays off. And I heard all the analogies to, you know, David versus Goliath and, you know, how can you beat the leagues? And we kept plugging away and kept writing new legislation to overcome the challenges. And, you know, after the Supreme Court arguments, you know, I was certain that we would be here today. Didn't know exactly the timing of when the Supreme Court would decide the case. And I've been anxious to get started, but, you know, we have a process. We have new legislation. The governor acted swiftly and decisively once he got the bill in his hands. And this is terrific for New Jersey. And for Monmouth Park, it really provides security for the future. I've been saying for years that we're never going to close here. You know, no matter what odds we're up against, We'd cut our days. We'd cut our purses. Not that I wanted to do those things, because this is a world-class venue that we always wanted to put in the limelight. But now we really have the revenue source to do that. We can grow our product. We can compete with other states that have casino revenue. We can increase our days. We can bring the breeding business back. This is wonderful. You know, when I first came off the chair of the Racing Commission to help the horsemen make this work, well, people would ask me, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you devoting all this time and energy? And I said, I want to preserve Monmouth Park for your children, for your grandchildren. We have a glorious history. I always wanted to be here. And I delivered that. You know, this provides security for an industry that provides 13,000 jobs, provides 176,000 acres in New Jersey of open space and preserved land. It's a $4 billion economic industry in New Jersey, according to the Rutgers Equine Science Study. And, you know, this day has arrived. It's going to be wonderful, and we're going to grow the business. You know, I know in the industry there are concerns about cannibalization. There are concerns in other states about will they get their share. We did it right here. You know, we have it for racetracks and casinos. And I don't think it's going to cannibalize us. I think a lot of our players now that do sports, they're betting illegally anyway. It's not like this is new for
exactly.
them. It's going to move the money into a legal market. The illegal market in this country is $400 billion. And now a lot of that's going to move to legal venues. And as far as horse racing is concerned, we're going to do a lot of interesting gimmicky things. We're going to have pick fours, pick fives, pick sixes with horse races mixed with sporting events. We're going to try and have a lot of crossover. This is going to help all our non-gaming revenue, which is really important, too. This is a win-win for New Jersey. It's a win-win for racing in this state. And, you know, the casinos will benefit, too. So everybody's happy today.
Very much. And, yeah, there were some developments as part of what Governor Murphy ultimately signed, and I actually alluded to it in the opening, and that includes what sounds like or feels like a window opening potentially for Atlantic City. I got the sure.
Morris?
Hello.
Anyway, I love it. Dennis Drazen with us, and a call from Morris Bailey, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, you know, that's interesting because Bailey had a little bit of a foray into potentially getting heavily involved. And I'm doing two things. I'm listening into the conversation too. I love it. But we'll get some more input from Dennis as soon as he wraps up. Yeah, and I'll let hang with us. You know, I do want to. I had heard yesterday as well from John, and I love it. And Dennis Morris Bailey.
Yeah, that was Morris Bailey, and Morris and I are friends, and he was calling to wish me well today. He wanted to be here, but he's off in Bermuda today. He's actually celebrating his birthday that's coming up, and he's with his family. But Morris has been with us from the beginning. You know, Morris Bailey actually was the first guy that wanted to help save Monmouth
right.
Park. Got a little frustrated with the process with the state, and so he turned it over to us and the horsemen. And Morris has been there helping me all along in the background. He's our real estate partner. If we ever get a casino, he's our partner here. And Morris has been so supportive, and he's got a large role in where we are today.
And, of course, Campaign's horses, prominent owner as well. And now you got to – I don't think he's at – does he have Jersey breads? Does he ever bred locally, Morris? I don't think so, right? I think his horses – I think he buys
– Yeah, he buys most of his horses. But Morris has Resorts Casino down in Atlantic City. So he's going to be involved in sports betting also.
Speaking of AC, what is your read on that condition, the 15-year window that clearly is a missive in Atlantic City's racecourse's direction potentially to add to the racing calendar? Is that what that is about?
Listen, if I were them, that's what I would do. But unfortunately, the legislative process, the assembly bill, several versions of it, had a requirement that if Garden State or Atlantic City wanted to resurrect a sports betting license, that they would be required to do live racing. And that did not make the final version.
Okay.
So they have no live race requirement.
Oh, they so would it's strictly, wow.
They would have to build their sports book within the oval where the racetrack was. So I don't know what their plans are, but if I owned Atlantic City or if I leased Atlantic City, I would use my sports betting revenue to bring back racing in the southern part of the state. It would be wonderful for New Jersey, but I don't speak for them.
Greenwood still in
yes,
position?
Greenwood.
They still would hold that grandfathered license?
Correct.
Okay. You mentioning and bringing Morris Bailey's in, I do want to extend one greeting that I received from yesterday. You know that John Parada, recouping from the heart attack, and he wanted me. Grew up basically with you and your father's. We're friends, and John wanted me to pass along.
Yeah, John reached out when we won the case, and John's a great guy, and I certainly wish him well in a speedy recovery. Wish he was here with us, but thank you for those regards.
For you and Ron too. He's. Grew up here. I mean, this is for him also, you know, one of those kinds of places that people treasure, and that's really that's how I'm associated. My time, I was explaining, living in Brielle, and this was the first racetrack I had a chance to attend, you know, multiple times a week and come regularly, as opposed to just, you know, once in a while when my grandfather would take me to Belmont or to Aqueduct when I was a kid. Smaller, younger kid.
Yeah, we've got it in our blood, as they say.
Exactly. A little bit about, I'm going to visit with Joe Asher later, but a little bit about William Hill and that partnership. And you know, they were committed early on. And, you know, how, explain a little bit how everything kind of works and what players can expect you know, coming here, and then even in the intermediate and long term, Dennis, about the online portion and the potential for Jersey residents, at least for now, to participate that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see the typical Las Vegas type book here, so anything you can bet in Vegas, you're probably going to be able to bet here with some restrictions. You can't bet on a New Jersey college team, whether they're here or out of state.
Interesting.
Although they did a carve-out for the tournaments. So, you know, you're not going to be shut out of the Final Four, March Madness, things like that. And there are certain restrictions internationally on teams that have a majority of under 18 players. But for the most part, it'll be just like Vegas. Right now, we're brick and mortar. 30 days from now, from the effective date that the governor signed the bill, we go online. So we'll have mobile, we'll have an online presence. And I think that as time goes on, you'll see a lot more in play. Today, you know, the in play is not ready, but it will be very shortly. And I think this is all good for racing and for people who have an appetite for sports betting.
In terms of how the... You expect, and not that you have to worry about what other states are doing per se, but you know, there's been the discussion about the so-called integrity fees, and it seems right now that other than New York, most of the states are pressing forward and are not offering the leagues really anything on that front. The model that you established, and obviously you were well ahead of the curve and had all the planning in place. You built this beautiful facility and in anticipation. How do you expect, Dennis, from what you're hearing as well, what do you expect the rollout to how it might look and what the, you know, what each state might, you know, how they might structure this?
So, you know... I've been very vocal about the integrity fee. I think it was totally uncalled for. I think the leagues handled it poorly. The leagues from day one tried to talk about the evils of sports betting and this was a risk to the integrity of the game. And that just wasn't so. So the leagues knew that this was a $400 billion illegal industry that was going on in this country. Does someone really believe that they were doing nothing to preserve the integrity of the game and that now they're going to have significantly more costs in a legal market than they had in preserving integrity in the illegal market? Give me a break. So I think they started, although there may have been others, I saw in Indiana, they were trying to promote a 1% integrity fee, which is really 20% of your money, that came into New Jersey. The original draft of the bill that I saw had an integrity fee in it. And I am usually mild-mannered, but, you know, it upset me. It bothered me. Some of the descriptions out there may be a little more aggressive than others, but, you know, basically what I felt was that it just wasn't justified. It just wasn't called for. And that's not a pun on trying to get justify here, the Triple Crown winner. I'm just saying that from my viewpoint, it was wrong for the leagues to call this an integrity fee and suggest that they were entitled to something. Basically, they fought us for 6 years. They could have made a deal. They could have gotten a revenue share. This is an attempt to get a revenue share. And they were wrong. So to come to New Jersey and try and get our legislators to give them money as a revenue share, calling it an integrity fee, by the time I got done delivering the message, and I did a lot of leagues were here talking to legislators. I was here talking to legislators. Others, you know, hopped in. And there is no integrity fee. The Senate president was very, very strong from day one. I'm not giving them anything. Hey, what do you get in Vegas? He said to them, nothing. That's what you're getting in New Jersey. The speaker was on that page. The governor signed the bill without an integrity fee. So their tricks didn't work here in New Jersey.
And that's what those that's what that little window, those from last Thursday through Monday, that was the wrangling that was going on behind the scenes.
Oh, no. No? That wasn't an integrity fee. No.
What else
was integrity if he was dead?
That wasn't going to be a part of the discussion under any circumstance.
If you're saying wrangling behind the scenes, the wrangling behind the scenes is the legislative process. So there are drafts of bills.
Okay.
There are lobbyists. There are stakeholders who are all expressing their views about what should be in legislation. By the time you're talking about, which was last Thursday, where there were some last-minute changes in the bill, including taking out the poison pill that would have stopped us from starting, only to find that the Racing Commission tried to stop us immediately after the legislature, and I can talk more about that. But the delay that you're talking about, because I just want to put that to rest.
Sure.
The governor acted swiftly and decisively once he had this bill. So the governor shared with me that he got the bill Friday at 3 o'clock. The legislature passed it Thursday, late in the day. There are some that say they sent it over late that night. The governor says he got it 3 o'clock on Friday. Don't you think the governor's entitled to read the bill? To have his lawyers read the bill?
What am I signing?
General read the bill and carefully consider it to make sure New Jersey got it right? So there was no wrangling. He wanted to read the bill.
The Racing Commission, their portion in this, and because I understand there's some, you know, some of the other things that went on for or go on. I don't know if it's important in the general scheme of things, but these are the same kinds of, I won't call them roadblocks, but obstacles that probably every state where there's racing needs to be aware of. In terms of a blueprint for, you know, for how the racetracks can benefit.
Yeah, so what happened is that the legislature took the poison pill out of the bill. sent it to the governor. The poison pill would have said if I opened before the governor signed the bill, I would never get a license. So they took that out. Then the Racing Commission sent a letter that night that basically said the same thing. Notwithstanding the legislature's action, we've heard reports that you intend to open. This is to advise you that if you open before the governor signs the bill, you may never get a license. Not those exact words, but the gist of the threat was there.
Why was that even necessary?
It was not. I've been very vocal since day one.
That you would that wait.
I was not going to open until the governor gave me his blessing.
Absolutely.
So it was totally unnecessary, but you know, that's what the Racing Commission sent us. It's a lot of history at this point. The Racing Commission gave us our license yesterday. We're good to go here. Governor's coming. He's going to make that bet at 10:30. And we're as happy as can be.
There you go. Well, that is... do we have a number or a model on population and on potential? What on the bottom line? What do you expect that the racing side and the trickle down effect to reach the horsemen and bettors and owners and everybody from the racing side? Is there a working figure?
So I think when you look at everything. You look at the illegal market in this country, you look at the Vegas numbers, you look at the numbers that have been generated, you look at New Jersey's demographics, which are stronger than Vegas. We think the New Jersey market is probably a $10 billion market. We think that Monmouth Park, ultimately, you know, in the beginning we'll get a larger share because we're the only ones ready to go. But in a mature market, we'll probably have 10% of the state, so that's $1 billion in handle. The win in Vegas with the books there is 5.6. William Hill does a little better. They're between 6 and 8%. So we think there's going to be a healthy revenue stream that will translate into significant dollars to put back into the purse structure here at Monmouth Park. And everybody's going to benefit from it. Excuse me one second.
Go ahead. Dennis Drazen with us. And
10:30.
it's pretty entertaining, actually. It's funny how the politicians they gravitate to this kind of an opportunity. I'm just laughing, Dennis, about thinking about the way the politicians. This is always. This kind of a circumstance always brings a lot of backslapping and smiling going on.
It is.
I love it. And of course, in terms of media, you've got national and local and New York Metropolitan on hand for today's kickoff. And as I showed in that tweet, the kinds of propositions, NASCAR wagering, World Cup already, you know, matchups and options, then the propositions and virtually everything. I guess you lost. I guess because of the timing, 10:30 kickoff. No straight win bets on U.S. Open. Unfortunately,
they're still wagering.
There's some head-to-heads, I guess.
They're still wagering opportunities.
Yeah. Just looking at the board, you know, you almost don't even realize, unless you're an active sports bettor, you don't even realize how many options are out there. You know, one thing that when it comes to horses, Dennis, that this certainly opens up, the futures, the Derby futures, that is an area, and not just Derby futures. There's no reason to think that... any kind of anti-post wagering for market conditions, Breeders' Cup and Travers and Haskell Future, and there's really no limit. And one of the things that has been a source of frustration is that players can only bet Derby futures in particular for a short period of time, and the limited options, and the chance here to expand that.
Hey, Dennis, so. You're in your office?
No, I'm doing a radio show in the sports bar.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Okay.
I'm here. Bye.
Okay.
you mentioned a lot of different kinds of props that are under consideration. How much interplay between the William Hill the risk managers and the way that portion gets developed? How much personnel, Monmouth personnel, are interfaced with William Hill's operation?
So William Hill is managing the risk. We obviously have been heavily involved in interfacing and getting the operation together. We've had, for longer than I care to admit right now, weekly meetings, you know, to try and move this forward, to get the construction done, to make sure we have every aspect of licensing, regulatory, covered all our bases. So we have a large workforce that's been all in on this, trying to get ready. When it comes to wagering, you know, although everyone's excited about sports betting and making bets, it's funny. You know, I spent 7 years doing this. I'm not allowed to bet. But everyone points out to me, I made the biggest bet of all. I bet $5 million that this would happen, and here we are. So it's a big payoff, a big win. Probably one of the biggest wins, you know, I've ever had in my life, certainly.
No doubt.
Although
no
I've
doubt.
Had some bigger jury verdicts, but this is good.
Well, this is changing the landscape, and changing it'll change in a lot of areas. I mean, you see Delaware already started, and of course they were grandfathered in with you know, the parlay
cards.
Yeah,
they had an infrastructure in place already. It was easy for them to get open. We wanted to be first, but so be it.
No, I mean that part of it is just incidental. But for starting from day one, a little less than an hour, things will kick off here, and I suppose that this also means year round, right? I mean, after racing ends in the fall, the parlor, the betting parlor, stays open. The weekend should be tremendous. NFL weekends and
absolutely. In fact. I'm trying to change my mind right now. So, you know, we have a racing schedule that's set. We're due to race till the second week of September here at Monmouth and then go to the Meadowlands.
Right.
And we can't race Sundays up there because of the games. You know, the Giants and Jets play there. Goral can't open that facility. So now that I'm going to have a little extra revenue in my hands, I'm thinking of trying to race on Sundays down here in the fall. To extend our season, add some days. So it's having immediate effects on the future for horsemen. And I think if you have Sunday live racing here while you have NFL games going on, that's going to be a very positive effect for us. So that's in the planning stage now. I haven't made my application to the commission. I'm just trying to give it some thought process, like if you have extra money, where are you better off spending it? You know, do you want to just raise purses a little bit? Or are you better off adding days and opportunities for horsemen? I think my horsemen would appreciate the additional time more than some additional money in the purse.
It, obviously, there's just an unlimited possibilities that will grow out of today. And the way everybody treaded water and maintained the course and to get to this day, Dennis, is a real testimony to everyone's commitment. And it's hard in this sport under any circumstance, but there was plenty of duress that now finds reward at the end of the process. So I can't thank you enough, and I'm just really anxious to see where things go from here. And it's an exciting day and an exciting future for Monmouth Park.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's always great. And it's been 6 years of conversation. In fact, I said the other day on the air, I'd love to get excerpts from each of the conversations, because every time there was a setback in court, we got together and you said, this is what I'm doing next, and this is where we go next. And even if we have to go to the Supreme Court, and that's exactly what happened. And the landmark change in the wagering landscape in this country.
What was that A-Team show that said it's nice when a plan comes together? Well, it came together for me.
It's, as the calendar months, like in a movie, when the calendar goes flipping by, and here it is, and in less than an hour. Sports wagering kicks off at Monmouth Park. Dennis Drazen, Derby Development, and everybody, the Horsemen, John Forbes, and everybody that has been so committed from day one here to make it happen. And very, very pleased for him. Let's take a break here. We'll come right back. We got lots to do. It is,
thank you,
Dennis, the first day of sports betting at Monmouth Park.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in...
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Plain talking, plain talking. Take us so far, take us so far. Broken down car, like strung out old stars, strung out old stars. Plain talking, plain talking. Served us so well.
Lift me up higher. Good Moby cut to talk about, lead into today's activities. And things have just really ratcheted up here with an influx of media. And I'm looking at a bunch of different, I guess you could call them instructional cards and such, kind of showing the money lines and multi-team parlay odds and a little bit of maybe some player education too. I mean, obviously, there's a certain percentage of those that'll play that that have great familiarity, but there'll be plenty of crossover in both directions. Here's a pro football parlay. Two teams, 13 to 5. Three-team parlay, 6 to 1. Four-team parlay, 11 to 1. Five teams, 22 to 1. So just interesting. And then the money lines, odds equivalencies, and interesting. Interesting. I hadn't thought of that. I imagine there is going to be a number of players that that would need a little instruction on this and what the odds and again, every state is going to be slightly different. We'll discuss that later at about 11:15. Joe Asher from William Hill is going to join us. I'm looking forward to that conversation too, and I think you'll get a lot of insight into that portion when we're joined. Pat, speaking of joining us, Pat McKenna is going to join us from NYRA. And Pat, I think we did this last year or the year before. Had a chance with Pat to talk about. I know Pat wants to acknowledge a lot of the people that really made Saturday, not just Saturday either, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the whole festival made it so pleasant and so successful. Before Dennis joined us as we were heading to the break, there were a couple of things that I hadn't had a chance to would have done after we got back from the break, but I wasn't going to miss the chance to grab Dennis, and that worked out perfectly. Marlon St. Julien, I started to make the reference, transferred to Craig Hospital in Colorado, and is doing very well. Marcus Hirsch yesterday updated everybody, and the feeling continues to come back, in his arms and hands, and he walked out of the hospital on the way to flying to Colorado. So continued best wishes, of course, for Marlon St. Julien as he works his way back. Flavian Pratt, you may have seen. Pratt is going to, and Derek Lawson, they're going to do some riding in New York. And Pratt will be on hand at Belmont for a couple of mounts, like Toinette, when it comes to the Belmont Oaks. And basically, this feels like a little bit of a testing scenario. Who knows whether this leads to Flavian doing more riding in New York. Del Mar season, the Saratoga season. Plenty of West Coast runners will come to Saratoga. So thought that was an interesting headline. And speaking of on the jock front, there was a very nice update yesterday from Mary Rampolini. Boo Boo Clark back in the irons and back in the winner's circle. And I really very pleased. If you haven't seen Mary's, I'll send a link to this. Mary with really kind of a pretty emotional, clearly, if you haven't had a chance to see this. And Clark, as we've said many times, I had this discussion with Mike Luzzi, that injury, Luzzi breaking his pelvis, that's an injury that at a certain age, would end a lot of careers. And no rider wants to go out on those terms. And Booba Clark back at Evangeline, and nice to get him right back right away in the winner's circle. And you may have also, I mentioned the thing about Pat Cummings earlier, and we'll talk to Andrew Hawkins as well in this half hour, as well as Pat McKenna. Chris Katulak, if you didn't see this, Chris Katulak is moving from Remington, and there was a big, there was quite a reception to this news a couple of weeks ago. And Katulak is going to become the COO at Fonner Park in Nebraska, Grand Island. And after, you know, a very successful stint at Remington, and it's really a return home for Katulak, and very one of the nicest people, and of course in the game, and one of the work that he did with the late Jack Van Berg was so his loyalty and his dedication to Jack just incredible what he did, and wish Chris Katulak the best of luck. And they are race crazy in Nebraska, and looking forward to talking to Chris at first opportunity about what he wants to accomplish at Fonner Park. And the opportunity now to get Pat McKenna in here, and now that everybody is exhaled in New York, all the work that goes into any Belmont Stakes weekend and racing festival, but when there's a Triple Crown try, the heightened attention and the crush of media interest and horse player and fan necessities makes it a very heightened few days and the weeks that lead up after Preakness, and happy to get Pat McKenna to join us this morning. Pat, well done.
Hey, Steve, how are you? Thanks.
I got to say, I had the conversation yesterday with Andy. Not sure if you caught up with it, but said to Andy, I mean, it just was, especially with the weather cooperating on Saturday, it was really just an amazing 3 days, and the racing was fabulous, and it all built to a tremendous crescendo. So congratulations to everybody, and thanks to everybody for making
no,
it
No, thank
work.
You, and thanks for having me on. I think we for good reason, move on awfully quickly in this game. I mean, the fact that we were racing on Sunday is absolutely a credit to the men and women of the New York Racing Association who make it all happen, right? We're lucky enough, you and I are lucky enough to be able to talk and talk about how great the racing was and all the rest of it. But none of that is possible without the contributions of the entire backstretch community, the contributions of the folks that were here overnight on Saturday into Sunday to be sure that we could greet horse players with a strong card of racing on Sunday, and then again even yesterday. I also wanted to take a moment to specifically thank Bob Afford and his family for going above and beyond, with graciousness, with patience throughout the week. These are not easy weeks for anyone, as exciting as they all are, especially not for the connections with their responsibilities, with Bob's responsibilities to his ownership group. Starting out on Tuesday night at Citi Field, moving right along, first thing bright and early Wednesday morning at the Stock Exchange. And then, greeting Justify, obviously, as he came off the van on Wednesday afternoon to a crush of, to a crush of media. And then onward, each morning, again, just taking the time to address the press corps until there were no more questions. And, we obviously appreciate it. Again, we're lucky to kind of be on the front lines here in the press office. But I think that anyone who you speak to, anyone who was in contact with Bob or Jill Baffert or even Bodie for that matter throughout the week, a credit to the game, a credit to to all that it takes to get these horses here to Belmont Park with a chance at the Triple Crown. It was a tremendously exciting week. I think that not to sort of take a victory lap, but really just to take a moment and acknowledge some of the folks that worked so hard for the better part of a year to make it all happen. So thanks again for having me on, Steve. Thank you for being here for a week and a half covering the races, talking to the horsemen and women, talking to some of our folks from NYRA, and being there for all of it. I do think that it's worthwhile to take a moment and just to say thanks to some people. So appreciate it. And now here we are at beautiful Belmont Park, and looking forward to the rest of this meet. And then on to Saratoga. You know, for us here, on, as you well know, and everyone, all your listeners, it's sort of a Memorial Day to Labor Day sprint. So we're looking forward to it. You know, I think that the memory is now 5 days out or 6 days out, depending on how you count it. You know, are starting to sort of come to the surface. What a special week it was for racing. What a special week it was for Justify, for the Bafferts, for people like Elliot Walden, who give so much to this great game, and every once in a while deserve some credit. So, thanks.
Very kind. And, you know, the acknowledgments, because things do move quickly, and that includes, of course, any number of people, Pat, that are probably already shifted their tack up to Saratoga to
right.
prepare for July 20th. And, you know, there's just a couple of weeks ahead of here, the Stars and Stripes, which has become really a standalone weekend in its own right. And I did see the news yesterday that it looks like Mendelsohn might start his second half of the year in the Dwyer. So even though we think about the Belmont Oaks and the Belmont Derby as being the, you know, the big centerpiece to Stars and Stripes now, the fact that Mendelsohn might come back and kick off the, you know, the run to the Breeders' Cup Classic starting there, that's a nice way to, you know, kind of kick off the post Belmont conversations.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting. You know, we all look forward to these days as we lead up to Saratoga. Obviously, that's always sort of there, and we're all, as is the rest of the racing world and so much of the Northeast and tons of sports fans across the country, have that Friday, July 20th date circled on the calendar as soon as the calendar comes out. But the rest of the Belmont meet here is strong, and like you say, you know, that Stars and Stripes day, as well as a few other days and a bunch of stuff in between, all days to look forward to. You know, come on out to Belmont Park, tune in whatever way you can. Obviously, there are a number of ways to do that these days, but it's been a fun month. Last week was exciting, and we'll take those memories with us as we move forward through the summer meet here at Belmont, and then transition up to Saratoga for that July 20th opening day.
Excellent. Well, Pat, I'm pretty confident we'll be back down before Saratoga, so I'll see you before we see you at the spot, but certainly just a nicely executed, really have heard nothing but, you know, nothing but positives from all different quarters, and I'm sure that, you know, the post weekend activities include, you know, figuring out other areas, you know, things to improve. It's always a process.
Sure.
But, you know, it
and
really,
thanks. You know, while we're on here, we had a crowded press box. Obviously, that, you know, the Triple Crown press corps, as I guess I like to call it. You know, phenomenal work, as always, you know, led by the dean of the New York Racing Writers, Dave Grenning, and on down. It's great to see so many folks from outlets like the Forum, like Blood Horse, who are obviously covering the game throughout the year, but to devote four or five and six people to the Triple Crown coverage is fantastic. And then, you know, just to see that press box packed and to read and view the coverage, you know, throughout, obviously, the week leading up, but even before that, is fantastic. And those men and women work tremendously hard throughout the year, and certainly that week. So thanks to them.
Well, I'm going to have to start calling Dave Dean Grenning. Yeah, that's a tremendous thing. Thanks for that. That's going to be Pat McKenna, everybody, and Pat does a tremendous job and has a placid. He really is the perfect. Was the perfect addition in his role because it, you know, the fur flies in every direction and the line drives. The line drives.
Whatever the opposite of placid, there were certainly some of those moments.
I love it, Pat. I appreciate it. You can follow Pat, and you should be following Pat, PC McKenna. And in fact, just a couple of minutes ago, I saw where he retweeted the Across the Board podcast of Andy's.
Mention that, and thanks. Yeah. I finally got the chance. I listened to a little bit of it after we recorded it last Thursday, and then was able to listen to the full thing. It's really great. I mean, he takes you through the entire sort of process with Justify behind the scenes in only the way that Bob would be able to do it. And then to hear him talk about 2015 with American Pharoah and some of some of the mistakes that he made by his own admission, to hear him talk about the day after the Derby with Justify and all of that, I think he something about an amateur move, but it's pretty enlightening, and I think that it takes on a new light, 5 or 6 days after another successful triple crown bid. So I urge your listeners to, if you're driving around, sitting in traffic, wherever you may be, take the 30 or 40 minutes and listen to Bob and Andy, because it's pretty great.
Well, and Andy seeks out some very different conversations. It's really been a great addition to the lineup and all the different things available on at the NIRA website. Pat McKenna, everybody. Pat, have a great weekend, and we will see
you
soon enough.
Alrighty.
Thanks, Pat McKenna, folks. Paying acknowledgments to everybody that made things go so well in New York this weekend. Let's take a break, top of the hour, and we're going to go pick up the ball with Andrew Hawkins, who is taken off with the departure of Pat Cummings, and Andrew will help us and be our guide to Hong Kong Jockey Club action. Back after this, Steve Haskin ahead as well. Joe Asher from William Hill after the ceremony. That's about a half an hour away. They're going to do it actually not in the book, but in the out in the grandstand. Yeah, a little bit more room over there. And Governor Murphy placing a bet to get things rolling. And you got racing on TV, you got soccer, you got baseball. It's all it's all happening on the first day of sports wagering from Monmouth Park. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees, or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a 2-year-old Calbred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's by Heatseeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.